the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Well, as we get older, we all like to remain healthy. Can imagine as you age, staying healthy throughout your retirement. And that's going to be one of the topics on today's program. We're going to talk about a way to remain healthy, flexible, and avoid injuries as you age. Joining me on the program is Helena Bray. She's from Mount Yoga. And Helena, you work with a lot of senior citizens in one of the big issues that I've seen, even with my own clients, as people age, there's the risk that they fall, they run into problems like arthritis, dementia. Let's talk about some of the things that yoga can help and assist in avoid these issues. But let me begin with this. You teach seniors. What is different about teaching yoga to, let's say, a senior group versus, let's say, a bunch of 20 and 30-year-olds in a classroom?
Well, it's quite different. And in fact, yoga as it's taught in the West is different than it originated hundreds or even thousands of years ago. When we pick up a classical yoga book and we look at the poses demonstrated in those books, these are young men, because traditionally women weren't even allowed to practice yoga. So they were young men who devoted their lives 24/7 to the practice of yoga. And so they're able to get into these poses where they put their foot behind their head and do all kinds of extreme poses that we wouldn't even think about. We may get in, but we wouldn't get out. That would be it. So when it was brought to the West, it needed to be, you know, adapted to our lifestyle, and especially now in the 21st century, where we have so much automation and so many things are done for us. And that's the wonderful thing about yoga, is that it is adaptable. And when I started teaching, which was back in 2004, yoga for seniors was just getting started. Chair yoga wasn't around, was just barely being talked about. And so there were a lot of people, you know, 15 years ago that really started seeing the benefits as they aged. And the program that I'm involved with, Silver Age Yoga, who was started by Frank Isaac, whom you've interviewed, he saw when he was in his 70s all of the benefits. So they thought, you know, how can we take these yoga poses that traditionally only young, very, very healthy, very agile, very flexible people could do and bring them to seniors so that they could benefit? So it's quite a bit different because we focus on different things. Different things are important as we age. You mentioned not falling, so balance. When students, seniors, come to my class, we have a little questionnaire that things that they want to work on, things that are important to them. And that's one thing that we see a lot is balance. Within the senior age population, there is a lot of joint replacement, hips and knees. Senior population have degenerative discs, which, you know, for many people is just a normal part of aging, where the discs in the back become very thin, either in the lower back and sometimes around the neck and the shoulders. So we really focus on things that we're not so much concerned about, that they be able to stand on their heads. I certainly don't do it. I'm a senior, and, you know, I'm not going to do it because you cannot safely guarantee that you're not going to compromise the neck. So we're not focused on getting into those extreme poses that you would see in a classical text or necessary building strength, being able to balance on your hands or, you know, one arm, but to really bring motion and fluidity, agility, so that they can get up and down off of the floor. Now that we have so many modern devices, people don't wash their own dishes. They don't wash the floors on their hands and knees. They don't go outside and hang clothes up on the line, which is a wonderful stretch to hang them up and to take them down. So as we've become a more sedentary society, aging has presented a lot of issues of just keeping the body agile so you can get down on the floor and get up from the floor, so that you can get in and out of these low cars you know, gracefully and without discomfort. So that's what we really focus on. And we have kind of a saying in my classes, motion is lotion. And it's lotion for the joints. As they get arthritic, you need to lubricate them with motion, and you also need to strengthen the structure, for instance, around the knees, so that if you do have arthritis in the knees, you're still going to have, you know, the support for the leg as well as the comfort keeping space in that knee joint. So it's a whole different focus. It's not about getting into a pose and holding it and looking really, you know, taking a Facebook picture and saying, oh, wow, I'm in the perfect tree. But it's about bringing movement. And a big thing that I like to focus on in my classes is awareness. The awareness of where you are in space, what's happening around you, especially now so many people are walking and texting or talking on their cell phones, to be really present, because that's very important, not only to keep yourself safe when you're starting a yoga practice, to be aware of how your body is feeling and how the movements feel, what feels good. From my perspective, if it doesn't feel good, your body isn't ready. And really learn, teaching them to tune in to the wisdom that the body has and to work with that awareness to keep them safe, you know, to keep them from falling. You know, so many times people will walk through a parking lot and they'll trip over these little barriers that are put there to stop the car because they're not focusing on where they're walking. And then if they should stumble, just teaching them how to be able to balance. We seldom fall when we're standing still. It's usually moving. So when we do balancing, we'll do the traditional tree where you stand on one leg, which requires quite a bit of strength and core strength. But we'll also do moving balances where we're transferring weight from one foot to the other. Or we do something that I like to call tightrope, where we walk a straight line, kind of like a sobriety test where you put, you know, heel to toe and try to walk a straight line and maintain balance. So we work it a little differently than, you know, traditionally where you would go into just a classical tree pose, although we do that as well. But we want not only balance when you're standing on one leg, but also when you're moving in space.
Helena, let's talk about chair yoga, because I want to direct this question to somebody that, let's say, in our technologically driven society where everything is automated, we don't do the kind of manual labor, stretching, and exercise that we used to before all these gadgets and things
right.
that are done for us. But how do you take somebody that isn't flexible? Let's say that they're starting to get arthritic. Maybe they have some disc problems. I want to talk about chair yoga and what that is as a way to sort of ease into beginning to become more flexible.
Right. And it's an excellent place to start. I've had many of my students come and they'll start in the chair. I usually give them an option where they can start on the floor, you know, on their backs, or they can start, you know, in a chair. And they'll often start in a chair, maybe stay in that practice for 6 months to a year, and then go to the floor. And sometimes people start on the floor and decide that they need to go to the chair because it's just, it's a different thing. It's not necessarily easier, because if you're on the floor, lying on your back, for instance, and are going to do knee to the chest, your back is supported by the floor, it's aligned by the floor, and so, you know, it's mainly the, just the flexibility of bringing the knee into the chest. If you're going to do knee to the chest in a chair, you need to really engage the core because you're going against gravity and you're lifting that leg, and the back is going to collapse unless you use the core strength and the abdominals to keep the spine straight. You don't have the support of the floor and giving into gravity. So it's not necessarily easier. There's kind of that misconception that chair yoga is easier, but it can be safer. And for people who are not able to get down on the floor, it's a really nice place to start. and it's a nice place to learn alignment. When we do yoga in a chair, if they have the strength, they don't use the back of the chair. They move away from that and align the spine. They align the knees with the hips, and the feet are flat on the floor. And core muscles need to be engaged. And we only use the back of the chair if you're working with someone that does not have the strength to sit straight. Or I work with people in wheelchairs, so, you know, many times they just have to use the back of the chair. But it's a nice place to start to be able to safely do a range of movement, because you can do the poses where you don't have the full weight of the body on the joints as you would, you know, if you were standing. So especially things like knees, you can be much more gentler. They don't have to support your full weight. And some people do not have the flexibility in the hips to do some of the standing poses with the correct alignment. And therefore, they can safely do it in the chair until they build the strength, which does happen. So it's really, really gratifying to see. And sometimes people just choose, well, today I'm going to get on the floor. Well, today I'd like to sit in the chair. And there's also the issue of hearing. And if you're in a large class and you're on the floor, you can't always hear the instructions. So you're kind of craning your neck to watch, and you're going out of alignment. So doing it in the chair allows you to kind of still keep your alignment and watch the instructor. So lots of wonderful benefits, and it makes it accessible to everyone. There's no excuses. The minute I suggest, you know, someone joining me in a yoga class, they'll say, oh, well, I can't touch my toes. Well, you know, it just really doesn't matter. And the whole thing of the practice really is an increased sense of well-being that you get when you do a yoga practice, because it works on the body, the mind, and the spirit. Most people come for all the physical benefits, but I think the first thing they notice is what we call the yoga hit, where you just have an increased sense of well-being after class. And I don't know if that's something that you've experienced, but I'm sure you probably have, which keeps us coming back for more and more and more. I like to feel good.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, I am taking classes through your studio, and we're focusing on three or four things that were brought to my attention, like, why am I doing this pose? Or why am I doing this stretch? And then it was explained to me that, for example, the tree pose, that as we age, one of the big downfalls that you see a lot of people really get injured, they stumble, they fall, they break a hip, they break a knee. You talk about a lot of individuals that have hip or joint replacements. So let's talk about, number one, maintaining balance, because you can even see it on, for example, television ads where they have bathtubs now for seniors that you can get in. You don't have to worry about tripping over. And this is one of the areas that a lot of people can fall. So let's talk about maintaining balance and how important that is, that as you walk or you're running, as you mentioned, you're more likely to fall when you're moving, not when you're just standing. And the importance of that, especially as you get older.
I think one of the things that we don't really think about or realize, and I know it's not something that you're really aware of, but as we age, you know, in the feet, there are all these proprioceptors, and they kind of tell us where we are. You know, they communicate to the brain how our feet are connecting with the earth. And as we age, that kind of goes away. And I don't know if it's because we wear shoes or if it's just part of the wonderful natural aging process that brings us all kinds of awareness as we age, but it's something that happens. So that's one of the things I like to work on. And that's one reason we do yoga in bare feet, is to allow those proprioceptors to bring information to the brain so we can feel the earth. And so that's one thing that I will work on. And it's just, you know, there's some like foot exercises and things that you can do to kind of wake those up again. And even just walking barefoot, which we seldom do as we get older, is very helpful. So that's one thing I always like to focus on. And then also with balance is strength. You need strength to balance, core. You need awareness. and you need focus. You know, if you're doing your grocery list in your head, it's pretty hard to do the tree pose. And that's one thing that yoga really helps us to do, is to increase our awareness and our focus. And that's one reason that there's so much emphasis on the breath as we do the poses, because it gives the mind somewhere to focus. So we can't think about the grocery list or what we're going to have for lunch or previous telephone conversation. We really have to be present and aware, and that will also help us in our balance and just keeping safe, being aware of our surroundings, being aware sometimes of what you can do and maybe what maybe you shouldn't be doing.
I'm working on three areas. One is balance. One is avoiding getting arthritis. I do a lot of things with the strap, and there are a lot of moves that your instructor is showing me that will prevent arthritis. So let's talk about that, because you said motion is lotion. And let's talk about some of those movements, because this is one of the best ways to avoid becoming arthritic.
Right. When we take the training, like for teaching to seniors, one of the things that they emphasize in a class is that we want to take all of the joints through their full range of motion. So we include the fingers. That's one of the first joints to get arthritis. And just, you know, making soft little fists and then stretching the fingers, interlacing the fingers. We focus on the wrists, the elbows, the shoulders, the hips, the knees, the ankles, toes. I'm a big one on toes. You ever look at people's feet? Not often very pretty. Getting those joints as they become arthritic and they get enlarged. So it's just taking them through their full range of motion. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. You always want to be mindful of how the joint works, that the knee is a hinge joint. You don't want to twist that knee. You just want to keep it moving as a hinge. And then, you know, shoulder joints and hips have a lot more mobility. But once again, you know, there's a lot of shoulder issues if you overstretch it or move it in the wrong way. But just trying to keep all of those joints lubricated so they don't freeze up and you don't lose the mobility. And I was a caregiver for my mother. She passed at 103, and I've learned a lot about the aging process, because my husband and I, from the time she was 70 until she passed at 103, and I saw how important movement was. And when she was at the very end, bedridden, and the nurses would come in and just show me, you know, just to move her fingers in and out. And without that, just the body freezes up, you know. We don't have to do anything really fancy, and I encourage people, don't park on top of the door, park out in the outer edges, leave those door parking for someone else, and, you know, wash your own dishes occasionally. And I live in a two-story house. I leave my cell phone downstairs when I'm upstairs, so if it rings, or I leave my water bottle downstairs, so I make all kinds of, you know, extra trips up and down the stairs. Motion truly is lotion for the body. The body loves to move. We were made to be hunters and not sit in front of a computer or a TV, which brings us to a lot of the issues now that we're having with spinal alignment and the heads coming forward of the spine, which then compromises blood flow, you know, into the brain, degenerative discs, and, you know, even digestion when we don't have the proper alignment. And I think that's the thing I love about yoga, because it works on so many levels. Like cobra pose, which is a back bend. Sometimes we think, oh, yeah, we're doing a back bend and we're, you know, getting flexibility. But while you're holding that pose, you're also putting pressure on adrenal glands. And so you're kind of flushing your adrenal glands. And the poses themselves have been designed to work, you know, on the endocrine system, the lymphatic system, as well as the muscles and our structure. And, you know, it works on everything. And, of course, the mind as well. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I know.
I just don't know why everybody doesn't want to do yoga.
Well, let's talk about some other benefits, too, and talk about the importance, you know, as I read more about it, the role that breathing plays, it's not only helping with your lymphatic system, your digestive system, also with blood pressure. There's so many things. I know that, for example, when I first discovered after my first lesson and I was going into the doctor's office, they had to take my blood pressure 3 or 4 times because it was like 106 over 67. And I go, what did you do? And I was trying to think, you know, I didn't eat anything different. I didn't do anything. Oh, I just got done with yoga. So let's talk about some of the benefits that go along with, we just talked about the fluidness of the movements. Maintaining movement is the lotion motion thing. Let's also talk about the breathing and the benefits of what it does for not only your digestive system, your brain, your immune system, because there are other things that come into play here.
Yeah, the breathing, you know, people, especially when they first come to yoga, and I'm one of those people, you know, when we would go through our 10 minutes at the beginning of class of doing breathing, I'm thinking, oh, geez, here we go again. I didn't come here to breathe. I want to move. But over the 30 years that I've been practicing yoga, now the breath is just so integral to my practice. We have to remember that it's connected to our nervous system, for one thing. The exhalations engage the parasympathetic nervous system that help us to rest and relax. So when I need to slow down to get to that quiet place, I can really just use my exhalations to do that. The inhalations are the fight and flight response. So when I need to energize, well, then I just focus on taking longer inhalations and really drawing more air into the body. So it really is very much connected with our nervous system. And it also joins the mind and the body. The breath work at the beginning of class, the slowing of the breath, helps us transition and helps you to take you from your active life where we're going, you know, with the pedal to the metal all day long, and it helps you to bring you into that kind of quiet space and to that awareness where you can simply be. So it's critical in doing that. And of course, it also releases toxins from the body. So by learning to take deeper breaths and stronger exhalations, you can release more toxins. And we only use a very small part of our lung capacity. In the Western culture, we breathe in the upper chest. And, you know, in some of the other Eastern cultures, they breathe, you know, like into the abdomen. But we have been taught to kind of have nice, tight, flat tummies and to pull them in, not to let them relax with the breath. And actually, using the breath will tighten the abdominal muscles. I use it usually to wake up my back muscles at the end of my exhalations, engaging the abdominals, pulling that navel in towards the spine so I can push out a little, few more toxins and to strengthen abdominals and lower back. It strengthens, of course, the diaphragm, and the heart muscle is actually connected to the diaphragm at one point. So doing, you know, deep breathing massages the heart, as well as, you know, like the thymus gland and the glands and the organs that are around that. So it's just amazing. I mean, you can just focus on what they call pranayama, the breathing, and all of the benefits. And there's all different types of fancy breathing you can do, but just the simple practice of being aware of the breath, the inhalations and the exhalations, and how you can deepen them, and how you can move it, how you can move it into the abdomen. You can take it up between the ribs. You can take it, you know, to the front of the chest, to the back of the shoulders to help open more space, to breathe into the back of the neck to make more space between those cervical vertebrae so we can get good blood flow. And it's very important, you know, for the cardiovascular health and for meditation. You know, everything now is very much mindfulness meditation, and that we need to have those breaks in the day to restore. And it's as simple as just focusing on your breath. And if you can't figure out how to get started, I have a little practice. As I inhale, I say to myself, I breathe in. And as I exhale, I say to myself, I breathe out. And I just do that for maybe a minute. And see how you feel after that minute.
You know, it's absolutely amazing, all the benefits that we've been talking about here, whether it's digestive system, whether it's, you know, maintaining fluidness in your muscles, lowering blood pressure, increasing your lymphatic system, strengthening your immune system. Why has it taken this long to gain the popularity? You've seen it, for example, the Cleveland Heart Clinic with heart patients now has yoga instruction. You've had very famous doctors like Dr. Dean Ornish and others who are mentioning a lot of these health benefits. This is a system that's been around, I guess, for thousands of years, developed over thousands of years, and is just now gaining a stride in terms of popularity, especially in the medical field.
Well, I think it is this movement that pretty much is, it's a movement towards health and wellness. You know, it's towards food. Food is moving in that way, healthier food, organic food. And I think it's that movement that really has sparked the interest in that. And even in the medical community, you know, there are many doctors where you would go to the doctor, you had a pain, they give you a prescription, and, you know, that's that. But now, so many of them are realizing the importance of integrative medicine, where you bring in all of these modalities, and they are asking people to take charge of their own health, not only in their healthcare decisions and their providers, but also in fostering, making an environment where you can be healthy. The body has tremendous abilities. I mean, I amaze every time I cut myself and the thing heals. It's like, wow, how does it do that? That you don't need to take a pill or anything. It just heals itself. But we have to give it an environment to be able to do that. We have to feed it good food. We have to exercise it. We have to rest it and create an environment in which we can be our best selves, remembering all along that the body was not made to last forever. It has a life expectancy, you know, but to maintain an environment where we can be the best we can be and be the healthiest for the longest time that we possibly can.
Well, it's amazing. For amount of years as I wanted to get into shape, it was, you know, typical guy, weightlifting, go to the gym, weights and cardio. And it's amazing by adding a balance with Pilates and yoga, the flexibility and the balance and the various benefits I'm beginning to learn, it's just absolutely amazing. And as you mentioned, once you go through a yoga class, there's a sense after you're done, there's a sense of well-being and you feel different. And it's because of what you're doing. Let me ask you this, Helena, if our listeners are listening to this program, maybe some younger, some older, let's say you're age 50, is there a book out there, anything that you can recommend that somebody might first look at before considering going into your first yoga class? And there's different forms of yoga, I understand, too. There's hatha yoga. There's various different schools of yoga. Can you just bring us up to date on that?
I usually look for things like gentle yoga, or if they're seniors, so many of the senior centers offer yoga. You know, so many, even the public libraries now, are offering, and it's so much just trying and finding the right person. But usually if you look for like gentle yoga or a book on gentle yoga, I know there are several out there. For I've been reading a book, Yoga for Healthy Aging, but I think most of the poses in that are quite challenging. And everybody's at a different level, and it's just finding a place where you can fit in.
Well, perhaps just doing some simple research. I know it took me a couple times. I tried yoga 10 years ago, and I went to a studio, and they were doing things that were just, I felt like, so inadequate, because everybody looked so flexible. They were doing these poses, and then they were just almost impossible for me, so I dropped out. And 10 years later, taking private lessons, I found somebody, your boss, basically, who said, wait a minute, you know, you're in your 60s. What you should be doing now is different than what you might have wanted to do when you were 40. So maybe you start out and find somebody that teaches a class like yours, which is mainly for seniors, that is attuned to their needs and the things that would benefit them.
There is silverageyoga.org, which is a website. And if you go on there, Silver Age Yoga does offer free or donation-based classes throughout San Diego. So those would all be good places to start, you know, for people living in San Diego in this area. But yeah, you really have to, you know, just try the classes, talk to the teacher, you know, and sometimes it's hard to find the right fit, but it's worth trying.
Well, maybe you just drive around town, find a couple studios. If, you know, you're 65 and you walk into a studio, everybody's in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, you probably figure it isn't a good fit, maybe. Although there are some 65-year-olds, I'm sure, that could kick butt. But well, I want to thank you for getting the word out. I mean, I don't understand how people can age without it. You know, it helps in so many ways, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually. And as you've experienced, it's just makes this like the best time of your life. I think you probably feel that way.
It's an incredible, incredible experience. Helena, if anybody's listening to this program in San Diego and they would like to find out more about your studio, would you mind giving out the website, if you would?
The website is mountyoga.org.
Mount Yoga, that's MTYOGA.org. That's MTYOGA.org. And the phone number is 858-208-9782. Helena, thanks so much for joining us on Lifetime Income. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your program. Thank you all that all you do for health and wellness. It's most appreciated and most needed. Thank you so much.
Just want to do a plug. Maybe some of you were like me, started out as a kind of a gym rat. I started out doing a lot of weightlifting, cardio, the typical thing guys do. But, you know, as we get older, and especially if you're lifting weights, you're pumping muscles and you're bulking up and hopefully getting stronger. But I found myself becoming less flexible. And especially if you're out in the water like I am, which I love to go boating. And I found I wanted to do something different. And I started doing research. And of course, if you've been listening to this program, we've had individuals from the Cleveland Heart Clinic to Dr. Dean Ornish. And Dean Ornish, in a couple of his books, has even a meditation yoga exercise. I think his wife is a yoga teacher. And I began looking into it and looking into it. My first experience was a terrible one. Went to a studio, once again, where the instructor and the students were in the 20s and 30s. And here I am, a guy in his 60s coming in. Obviously, that wasn't a good fit. But I found the right fit. And I can't tell you the difference in flexibility and the way you feel. And here's another thing that you might find very helpful. You're in a very stressful situation. You've had a bad day at work. Something's come up. You know, your favorite stock is down. Something's not going right. Or if you live in California, you're stuck in a traffic jam for an hour. Some deep breathing. It is just amazing what it'll do for you. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed this program. And if you are wanting to deal with those issues, whether it's flexibility, maintaining balance, strengthening your immune system, and you know the great thing about it? You don't have to have a gym. You don't have to have equipment. Heck, all you need is a floor, a chair, and you can do most of this stuff. And it'll keep you healthy. And as Helena was talking about her mother, she was healthy almost to the age of 103. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.